Have you ever wanted to connect with someone, but you stopped yourself? Excuses to Connect is a podcast about actively creating the conditions that make meaningful connections easier. In other words, you can make excuses to connect. Join me, Richard Leetai, as I have conversations with experts, friends, and strangers on their struggles and successes when it comes to human connections. As a listener, I hope that you can take these insights and find excuses to connect with more people. After all, you never know how any connection can transform your life. Welcome to episode 14 of the Excuses to Connect podcast. We just came out of Thanksgiving weekend here in Canada, and it reminded me to express gratitude for the things that I usually take for granted. If you think about it, even having a meal on your table is only possible because we're interconnected. The food had to come from the earth, which then passed through many hands of farmers, transporters, inspectors, store employees, and so on, before coming into your house to be cooked and served as a meal. Our guest today advocates for this same type of intentionality when it comes to thinking of our relationships and showing that we care about others. Cherie Werner is a co-founder and chief kindness officer at Koya. Koya is a social platform and app designed to create meaningful and intentional connections. Basically, you can send people a video or audio message along with an optional gift, like some money for coffee. You pick a location where the Koya will activate and they receive your message and gift, say your friend's favorite coffee shop. The recipient receives a notification that they have a Koya to discover, and you can provide them with hints to nudge them in the right direction. I think this is such a cool idea. And in this episode, we explore Koya, as well as a meetup group that she hosts in Austin, Texas, and much more on the topic of connections. This is Koya, the app to send joy to anyone, anywhere, with Cherie Werner. It's great to have you on the podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Such an honor.
There's an interesting sequence of events that led to this. First of all, I was on a platform called Lunch Club, which pairs people up for weekly calls. And one week I was chatting with this lady named Amy, who is the VP Future at Adidas. And during our conversation, we were talking about human connections, because that's something I'm very passionate about. And she's like, oh, you need to get to know John from Koya. So I jumped on a call with John, and then Cherie, you popped into his room while we were chatting. And now we're here recording a podcast. So I guess we'll start with Koya. Could you tell listeners what Koya is?
Yeah. Well, Koya is a social platform that allows you to connect with family, friends, and or businesses in a more meaningful way. So I like to describe Koya as Hallmark meets Venmo, Pokemon Go, but we're the ungift card. And I know that's a mouthful, but for me, it's like this aha moment, because Hallmark, you're creating or you're choosing a personal greeting. I mean, who better to send a greeting to their best friend than the sender? So you create a message, you say, hey, I'm thinking about you. And you go in and we call them everyday registries. You can choose a place if they have the app to select a location that they're likely to go to, because you want them to get the messaging at that location. Mm-hmm. Then you can add money on the back end of it. When you hit send, after you have created your message, chosen the location, added money, right away they're notified that a Koya has been created for them in such and such place. So if it was here in Austin, it would be in Austin. Good luck finding it. So that's the Pokemon Go part of it, because it's like an Easter egg, but you don't know when or where you're going to find it. And you can send hints back and forth in it. And when they actually walk into the location that had been chosen, it unlocks the video message and any money attached to it. And we, as a family, we love to stay connected and kind of like hide these little secret, meaningful gifts for one another when my husband was traveling or my daughters were traveling.
Awesome. Yeah. And could you tell listeners about what the acronym Koya stands for? Because I think that's very interesting too.
Yeah. So Koya actually stands for Kindness Anya. And think Australian accent, Kindness Anya, mate. We kind of came up with it. We had, I think, 7 different names chosen. And we sent it out to our community and asked them which one resonated more with them as a connection app. And that ended up winning. And we've had it ever since.
Mm-hmm. And I know one other aspect of this that I find really interesting is Koya is a family-run business. It's you and your husband and your children. Could you tell me more about this aspect of how you wanted to stay in touch with your children when like they went off to university and how that sort of sparked creating Koya?
No, definitely. I'll go back a little bit further. So John, when the girls, so I have three daughters, Karen, Courtney, and Kaylee, and two of them are millennials. So they're in their 30s. And then I have a 20-year-old who's in college. That's Kaylee. And when the older girls were younger, John traveled a lot. And so he would always leave behind, whether it was a silver dollar that the girls would hold on to, or he would record audiobooks for them to listen to at night, and just little things for them to find. And then they began hiding things in his briefcase, in his luggage, for him to discover when he was away. So it became kind of like a game for all of us. And I think that the girls, as they grew, that stuck with them, and they became travelers. The oldest has traveled to, I know it's over 50. I want to say it was like 75 countries.
Wow.
He's the humanitarian photographer. And so she's traveled extensively. And her sister has also traveled a lot as a storyteller. And so when they were traveling, when Karen went on one of her first trips, she actually created this journal that she left behind for us. She was going to Africa for 6 months. And it was right after finishing high school. And every day she wrote something in that journal for us to read on a daily basis. But she said, you never can go ahead, because each day was kind of thought out by her. And we still have that. I mean, like, that will be a keepsake for the rest of our lives. But it's a connection point. It's these little fun things that show that it's an intentionality. I guess that's what it is. It's the intentionality behind thinking of somebody. That makes a difference.
I think that's an important component of building a deeper, longer lasting relationship, is those constant touch points and showing that you are thinking of this person and caring about them.
Yeah. And it becomes, they become the little things that you have. I know, like with my youngest daughter, she's in college at Texas A&M. And I mean, Koya came out right prior to her going off to college. So it was a fun way to asynchronistically stay connected with her without being on all of her social platforms. I mean, I'm on them, but I didn't use that as the connection tool. Koya was a connection tool because I knew she had to go to Target like once a week to get supplies, or that she liked to get her nails done once a month, or I'm trying to think of some of the other places that she had in there. And I would scatter these Koyas, you know, throughout the campus, just reminding her, hey, I'm thinking about you. I miss you. And I really believe that when kids go off to school their freshman year, there's so many changes happening, and having those little touch points are so important, because if they know that they are important and they're being thought of by their parents, I think it kind of empowers them to feel like they can do anything.
Right.
And if they make it through their freshman year, they're more likely to graduate. So we eventually plan on rolling out Koya on college campuses as we grow, because I, especially, you know, with loneliness, I mean, like, this is the most overly connected generation, Gen Zs, but yet they are the loneliest generation, which is heartbreaking for me, you know, and so parents need to find those touch points to stay connected with their kiddos.
Yeah. As someone that was in university not too long ago, I definitely relate to this aspect where there's so many stressors, so many things going on when you're in school. So just having that sense that your parents or whomever else is still there to have your back and is caring about you makes a big difference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my daughter is cute. She's like, you never call me. And I'm like, yeah, but if I call, I might be calling during a class or when you're hanging out with friends. So like in my mind, I'm being overly sensitive to the fact that I know it's a busy time. And so whenever I'm demoing Koya, the app with people, I always choose her. And just recently she's like, oh my gosh, I've gotten all these Koyas from you and they're all in different locations, you know, that she's gone to. And she's like, this is fun. I'm like, that's what it's supposed to be. So
yeah. John had told me the story too of this long distance relationship, this couple that was using the app too.
Yeah.
One of them was in Canada and the other partner was in the UK, and during Valentine's Day they had planned out basically this whole series of events of like, oh, when you wake up, like go to this coffee shop, and then when you get to this coffee shop it triggers the next Koya. So yeah. I found that really fascinating that you can, yeah, it feels like that the person's there with you.
Right and again, it's not about money per se, it's more about the thought that goes into it, for because like the intentionality of choosing these different locations throughout the day for those couples, they're going to remember that like years from now, because there was a lot of thought that went into it, and it connects you in a deeper, more meaningful way.
Right. I wanted to also circle back to an earlier point that you made about how this generation or this time, like we're the most connected we've ever been in terms of technology, mm-hmm. also the loneliest that we've been. So I wonder if you could expand on that more.
I've been fascinated by this. I mean, having raised two daughters that are millennials, and there's like a decade between them and my youngest. And I mean, John has always been working on phones. So, I mean, like Kaylee grew up watching us on our phones and her sisters who had phones, and we had guidelines. I mean, I want you to go outside and play, or I want you to connect with friends. And when friends are over, I want you to be present and the phone won't go in your room. You know, I did all of that. And yet she still struggled with her time management on the phone. And I think the problem is that we don't really understand the impact that staring at a screen and comparing what others are doing and you're missing out on or how they look is changing the brain structure. But studies are showing now that kids are later in dating, later in getting their driver's license. They don't hang out in just large groups meeting up at the mall or doing things together like they used to. And many of them admit to struggling with social anxiety, like being in the presence of other people, because it's easier to do this. And so you wonder, it's like, how is this really going to impact them, you know, 5-10 years from now? So there was an interesting book that I read. It was called Belonging, Reconnecting the Loneliest Generation. And it says nearly one third of young people say they have no trusted adults. And it really kind of alludes to the fact that as adults and mentors, we need to be investing in this generation. You know, they need us, even though they might say they don't, they really do. So anyway, but yeah, that's just, there's so many studies and things out there that have talked about the fact that they are overconnected, but because they don't know how to interact sometimes or show up.
Right. So you had just mentioned how we're very overly connected because of technology and how it's leading to like people not really knowing how to interact or having social anxiety when it comes to in-person encounters. And yet Koya is built on a digital platform or meant for on the web or through your phone. So I'm curious on this relationship of how technology can also be used to create these connections.
Right. There is a balance. Anything that is taken into excess ends up being unhealthy for you. So if I drank too much, I mean, that would impact my health. I think it's the same with technology. I think the difference is there are all of these mechanisms built into the different apps to keep kids stuck there coming back for more. It's kind of like, you know, crack is like more, you know, it's the endless scroll. It's the, you know, 3 seconds before the next thing pops up and things like that. We purposely have not nor will add those sorts of things into our app, our app is really, we want to encourage you to think about people you haven't thought about. So you might get a notification that says, hey, it's National Coffee Day, you know, reach out to people that you like to have coffee with. I mean, it would be worded differently, or it could be like, who was the person that made you laugh the most? You know, reach out to them. It's to trigger you to think about people because a different part of your brain is used for that. The prefrontal cortex, which is healthier for you than, and I can't remember what part of the brain that you kind of just zone out when you're doing the endless scrolls or comparing and stuff like that.
I agree with this aspect about moderation because technology is a tool and it just depends on how we use it. But I agree that like these apps like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok and so on, like they're designed in a way to be addictive in terms of keeping people on it and concerned about likes and comments. But there's also platforms like Lunch Club and what you're doing with Koya that it triggers building meaningful connections beyond, I guess, like sort of vanity of how many likes or comments I'm getting on something.
Right. And I think also, I mean, like we wouldn't be talking right now. I mean, so there's definitely tech for good and it really goes back to balance. And I think that when I look at Lunch Club, it's not about me. It's about like, how can I help you? You know? And so there's a different motivation, I think, there too.
Mm-hmm. And I also know that, if I remember correctly, on your 100th Lunch Club call, you got connected with the actual Lunch Club exec.
How random is that? I know, it was so interesting. He was here in Austin and up to that point, everything had been virtual. And he's like, hey, I'm here in Austin. Would you like to go actually grab coffee? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, definitely. And so we had coffee and I was telling him, you know, how much I really enjoyed Lunch Club because I'm such a social person. Okay. And, you know, COVID really did a number on these people who like to be out and about, which is why I think Lunch Club ended up being such an incredible tool for me in connecting with random people because you never knew who you were going to meet. And while we were, you know, visiting, I was telling him how we started inviting couples over. Like I'd meet someone like you and you'd say something like, hey, I just moved here to Austin. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, well, welcome to Austin. Would you like to come over for a home cooked meal? Most people would be like, oh, well, that's kind of weird. But a lot of them were really appreciative and took me up on the offer. And so we started doing that. And he was like, wow, that's really cool. And I said, yeah, would you like to come over for dinner? And he's like, well, my team is in town. We'll all be in town next week. And I'm like, why don't you all come over? And so we ended up having, I think there was 12 that came over. And they were doing team building and stuff here in Austin. Mm-hmm. And it was for Cinco de Mayo. And we just did an outdoor, you know, fajitas and festival. And it was so much fun, very memorable.
Wow. Now, that reminds me, actually, when I was going to school, there's this couple, this elderly couple in the city that they also hosted students over for dinner regularly. And they've been doing it for maybe 25 plus years. They started doing it specifically for international students because they're away from home, right?
Exactly.
And
it's
like cooked meals and their parents, and they wanted to be able to provide these students like, this is a second home for you, right? This is a place where you know that there's people that have your back and you can come for home cooked meals. So I've had chances to go over to their place for dinner too. It's one of my highlights. Because it's just, it's so special.
I mean, like you were saying, when you don't have family here, it gives you a different worldview of what family is. I mean, you have your biological family who have nurtured and brought you up. And then you have your chosen family, the people that are kind of brought into your life that invest into you by offering you a home-cooked meal or just, you know, a sounding board as you're like acclimating to a new area. Those are the relationships that we're wanting to help you continue to reach out to. But it's so easy because life gets busy and we go from one place to another. And then, you know, it's like you're in that moment and then all of a sudden something happens and you think about that person. Like you said at the beginning of the podcast, how often do we think about someone and just don't take the time to connect? And so that's kind of really the heart of Koya, is connecting with that person in the moment as you think about them. And you're not interrupting. That's the cool thing about it, is because it's asynchronistic. If you sent a Koya to this couple who hosted dinners, you know, like later in life, let's say you start doing that because right. you remember them doing it, and to take a picture and send that to them and just say, hey, I'm here hosting my first dinner. And you're the one who did this for me when I was, you know, a new student at the university. And I thank you for that. I mean, how heartwarming is that? That's the Hallmark part of it. Oh. Don't be crying, I promise.
No, that's awesome. And yes, it is my goal too. I want to host people over at my place for dinner. Okay. Yes, I'm going to record a video and send it to them. I know one other thing that you're involved with is running a meetup group in Austin called Fiesta. If you could tell listeners about that.
Well, I have COVID and Lunch Club to sort of thank for this. During COVID, on a lot of my Lunch Club, I mean, at first I was just meeting anybody randomly. And then as things started to open up and I was paired with people who were here in Austin, and it was the same thing. Oh, I just moved here to Austin, or I moved here right before COVID, or, you know, I moved during COVID. Like that was always the one that kind of got me. I was thinking about moving to a new city during COVID. You know, you're trying to acclimate to that city. And if you know anything about Austin, it is growing exponentially. I mean, people are moving here by the droves from California and New York, and it's because of the tech scene that in the community that is growing. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I decided, you know, I just want to try and gather people. And so I did a launch in June, and I invited the people from Lunch Club who I had had conversations with, and John invited some of the ones that he had had conversations with. And I think we had like 37 people show up. It was outdoors. It was nice. But then I realized it's like, it's hot here in Texas as the summer progresses, and it's not predictable. And I really felt like you going to the couple's house, it's something consistent and you know what to expect. So I wanted to kind of create that feel where it was going to always be the same time, third Tuesday, you know, 5:30 to 8:30 at the same location. That way, if you met somebody who had just moved here, you could say, oh, there's this like meetup, it's called Fiesta, and it stands for founders, investors, entrepreneurs, startups, techies, and Austin newcomers. You fit in one of those categories, you should come. They serve pizza. And
free food is always the way
to go. I know, it's always this is to grab. And so I then thought about, well, I should look at doing like a meetup group so that I had a place to advertise. And literally the next day I got an email saying that this one group that I'd gone to like three times was about to fold. And so I thought, well, why start something new? I'll just take over this group because it was for co-founders. So it fit in one of my five categories. And then I just kind of started rebranding everything to Fiesta. And we had our last meetup in September. I think we had 85 people show up. And we are meeting in real life versus virtually. I haven't done the virtual thing. And if I had to, I guess I would, because the connection part is more important. And then out of that, I thought, well, you know, meeting once a month is nice, but what happens the 29, 30 days between that? Like if you had a need in between that, I don't want you to wait until the next time. And right. So I decided to create a Slack group, which I really don't know much about Slack, so I'm learning as I go. And we have, I think, almost 100 people in our Slack group now. Okay. And they're really excited about being informed of all the things happening here in Austin and how to get connected. And you know, I've had people reach out and say, hey, I'm looking for someone who can do some marketing. And someone steps up, I'm like, oh, here's so-and-so's, you know, name. And so that's kind of my heart and my vision, is that as, you know, entrepreneurs, founders, newcomers were able to help one another and find the things that we each individually need and help in those moments and stuff. So that's Fiesta. And it's so much fun. We just had Austin Startup Week and everything was virtual except for the happy hours. But the happy hours were so well attended. So walking into a happy hour and seeing people that now I know them and they know me, it's such a great feeling. I mean, it just kind of amplifies like, yes, being out.
Yes. No, that's awesome. And I mean, Fiesta is a fun name too.
Thank you. So, thank you.
Great to work with all these different groups. So I know one of the things you identified as was as a community builder. And I think what you built here is a community. Yeah. So yeah, if you can tell me more about what the word community means to you.
Fiesta is pretty inclusive. You know, you have founders, you have entrepreneurs, investors, and not that I'm like investors probably aren't as represented, but we do have some that come to the events. But I think it's finding that commonality. There's something that, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, you know what it's like. You know what the daily grind is like. You know what the roller coaster is like. You know what it's like to be raising money and stuff like that. And I think that to me, community is built on helping, you know, versus trying to climb, you know. And so I think that that's kind of how I approach it is like, how can we help one another, you know, make the connections that we need, you know, find the resources that we're looking for and stuff like that. And I think just knowing it's a place where you feel like you belong in your scene. At our core, we're created for belonging. And so finding those communities in our lives, whether it's, you know, school. I mean, you have your community of people who are wanting to learn how to connect and what that looks like. So there's that commonality right there.
Right. So there might be listeners that identify with this message that you said earlier that they are feeling lonely, mm-hmm. even though there's all this technology around. So for those listeners, like, how would you encourage them to build connections in their lives?
Yeah. Well, first, I mean, we have come through a really hard time. And I do know that so many people, you know, have been struggling with loneliness. I feel like the best antidote for when you're in that slump is to reach out and give a helping hand. You know, the saying that it's better to give than to receive. I mean, there are psychological as well as physical benefits to helping others. And I was getting really nervous about an upcoming podcast I'm going to be on because a lot of the people on it are like authors and they've done these like incredible things. And I've only been working on what I've been doing for 4 months. But what I realized is that in and of itself is like, I took the step, you know, the first step to connect others and to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I don't have all the formulas. I'm much older than most of these people that are in my community. So I don't have that commonality. Those were things that I could have allowed to be barriers to doing what I'm doing mm-hmm. versus allowing them to be like, it's okay. I'm going to learn as I go. I don't know Slack. I'm not as techy as many of them, but I can ask, you know. So I've now had these Gen Zers, because they're in their 20s, coming over to my house, helping me with Slack. You know, I told them, I'm like, I'm going to start doing a once a week deal where I just open my house up and you can come co-work out of my house. Oh. You know, I have great internet. I have the outdoor table that, you know, you can kind of spread out and whoever shows up, shows up. And everybody's excited about it that I've talked to so far. So yeah, that's what I would recommend. There's little ways, invite people into your house. It can be just one person, you know, get to know them on a deeper level. People are like, well, I wouldn't know what to ask. There are games like We're Not Really Strangers or these table toppers. We, even as a family, we pull these card things out and ask questions to get to hear or know each other at a different level.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing a We're Not Really Strangers hoodie right now.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, don't allow excuses to stop you, because I know some people say, well, I'm an introvert. I'm not very outgoing. I mean, I might be an extrovert, but I had so many insecurities in life, like, you know, feeling like I was too old or I didn't fit in. I'm doing a startup later in life, things like that. And COVID made me kind of step back and re-examine, you know, what would be the legacy that I leave behind, not just for my family, but to the world. And it's like, I want to be known as someone who helped people connect each other and that I really cared. And so it's never too late, ever.
Right. Yeah. And I know we've plugged Lunch Club a few times, so I would also encourage listeners that Lunch Club's a really cool platform to connect with people that you normally wouldn't be talking to. So.
Oh, without a doubt. I think I learned some great people skills, I mean, doing Lunch Club, because there would be those times that you'd have the lull and I would have to kind of like, okay, I'm just going to push through and ask another question. And Lunch Club makes it easy because they have a list of questions that you can actually ask the person. And I think that I would always go into those calls like, okay, 15 minutes to hear who they are and 15 minutes to hear what I'm working on. And then 15 minutes to just talk about this or that. It was kind of like the formula I had in my head. And I think it's a great formula for when you're out meeting people to find out about who they are. Yeah.
It's a good platform. I know one other aspect that you're involved in is coaching, which I think ties to your legacy that you just mentioned, that you want to help people connect with people and show that you're caring about them. So yeah, can you tell listeners about your coaching practice?
So I actually don't have a practice. I was certified in 2015. And I think part of the reason for doing that is I really believe in mentoring relationships. I mean, I think as a parent, one of your mentoring relationships is with your kiddos. And then if your kids are like in high school, you know, being able to mentor to some of their peers. I mean, you'll have that opportunity. My mindset was always that you're never too young to mentor. There's always those that are younger than you that you can mentor, and looking ahead at the different seasons. So if I'm in college, I know eventually maybe I want to be married, you know, hanging around people who are married couples that I want to kind of exemplify. And so it was taking it to another level. It's like, okay, so what is coaching all about? Because I really thought about, I think, had I not gone into doing the startup with the family, I might have gone back to college to get my master's in counseling. But then I thought, well, you know, I'm more of a people person versus a one-on-one person. And I think it's important to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. So I didn't think that that would benefit me well, but if I really want to do community well, you know, taking a coaching class is, I felt was important during COVID. It's like, okay, I can sit around and be upset by the fact that I can't go out, or I can grow. I mean, so I'm always investing in myself, because I think, you know, as you fill yourself up, then you have more to give, which is why I love to read. And so during COVID, I actually did a happiness course. I actually did two of them. The one that's out of Yale, which is free. Highly recommend that. That was a connection with other people. And I learned things that I didn't know at the time, and I'm able to apply it in my relationships today. So yeah. So coaching, I think, is great to get a certification because you learn things. You learn how to better communicate.
Yeah. As someone who is also pursuing my coach certification, coaching, I think, is a very special type of relationship that you build with people too, like holding space for them and being able to really like give them that time and to hear them out and support them along their journey. So I think that's super important. And I recommend this happiness course as well. I haven't taken it, but I'm aware of who runs it. It's yeah. Dr. Lori Santos, and she also runs a podcast called The Happiness Thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah, 100%. So
as we're almost coming to a close with this conversation, I'm wondering if you could tell listeners where they could find more information about Koya, or if they wanted to get in touch with you personally.
Yeah. So Koya, you can find us at getkoya, getkoya.com. And myself personally, I'm on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. That's my platform so that I tend to use. And I mean, yeah, I'll definitely share those with you. I'm really good about responding and would be happy to answer anybody's questions.
Yeah, especially if someone else is listening from Austin and doesn't know about you yet.
Yeah, look up on Meetup. We meet on the third Tuesday. We'd love to have you join us at a Fiesta Meetup and meet you in real life.
And if I come down to Austin too, which I want to at some point, I'll have to come by your place.
Oh, we would love that and would love to have you over for dinner also.
Do you have a final message or takeaway for listeners? I know we've covered a lot of ground in our conversation around Koya and intentionality and building connections and loneliness. So,
yeah, I would just go back and just say you're never too old. It's never too late. And just do your part in showing up and being intentional with the people in your life. Don't allow excuses to stop you from connecting. I think a lot of us have, oh, it's been too long. I wouldn't know what to say. You know, we had a falling out, whatever it is. And you'll never underestimate the blessing or encouragement that it might be for the other person as well as yourself. You never know how you'll be changed by a connection. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if I could make a turn of the phrase there too, because my podcast and Brad is all about making excuses to connect. So it might be the case that you're making excuses not to talk to people, like, oh, it'll be weird or it'll be awkward, but you can also find excuses to connect with people through all these different platforms or just changing your mindset around it. Yeah. Well, it was such a pleasure chatting with you today, sharing all your insights and stories.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Remember to check out the show notes of the episode, where you can find a link to my website, excusestoconnect.com. There, you can find out the other initiatives that I'm working on. The intro and outro music were written by Megan Rennie. You can check out her Instagram and SoundCloud in the show notes. There are also links to leave a voice message, as I'd love to hear from listeners. You can leave a comment or ask a question that might be featured in a future episode. Lastly, there's a link to Buy Me a Coffee. This is a website that supports content creators, where you can donate some money on a one-time or monthly basis. If you love what I'm doing and want to support, you can buy me a metaphorical coffee. Finding excuses to connect is what I love to do, what I'm good at, and what I think the world needs more of. Consider sharing this podcast with anyone who might benefit from it. I hope you have a wonderful day and make some new connections. After all, you never know how any connection can transform your life.